Workers in the Cause, 1907. Extracts from Testimonies for the Church, 5, 721-729. As year by year the work extends, the need of experienced and faithful workers becomes more urgent. And if the people of God walk in His counsel, such workers will be developed. While we should rely firmly upon God for wisdom and power, He would have us cultivate our ability to the fullest extent. As the workers acquire mental and spiritual power, and become acquainted with the purposes and dealings of God, they will have more comprehensive views of the work for this time, and will be better qualified both to devise and to execute plans for its advancement. Thus, they may keep pace with the opening providence of God. A constant effort should be put forth to enlist new workers. Talent should be discerned and recognized. Persons who possess piety and ability should be encouraged to obtain the necessary education, that they may be fitted to assist in spreading the light of truth. All who are competent to do so should be led to engage in some branch of the work, according to their capabilities. Much talent has been lost to the cause, because men in responsible positions did not discern it. Their vision was not far-reaching enough to discover that the work was becoming altogether too extended to be carried forward by the workers then engaged. Much, very much, which should have been accomplished is still undone, because men have held things in their own hands instead of distributing the work among a larger number and trusting that God would help them in their efforts. They have tried to carry forward all branches of the work, fearing that others would prove less efficient. Their will and judgment have controlled in these various departments, and because of their inability to grasp all the wants of the cause in its different parts, great losses have been sustained. The lesson must be learned that when God appoints means for a certain work, we are not to lay these aside and then pray and expect that He will work a miracle to supply the lack. If the farmer fails to plow and sow, God does not by a miracle prevent the results of his neglect. Harvest time finds his fields barren. There is no grain to be reaped. There are no sheaves to be garnered. God provided the seed and the soil, the sun and the rain. And if the husbandman had employed the means that were at his hand, he would have received according to his sowing and his labor. Development according to law. There are great laws that govern the world of nature, and spiritual things are controlled by principles equally certain. The means for an end must be employed if the desired results are to be attained. God has appointed to every man his work according to his ability. It is by education and practice that persons are to be qualified to meet any emergency which may arise, and wise planning is needed to place each one in his proper sphere, that he may obtain an experience that will fit him to bear responsibility. But while education, training, and the counsel of those of experience are all essential, the workers are to be taught that they are not to rely wholly upon any man's judgment. As God's free agents, all should ask wisdom of Him. When the learner depends wholly upon another's thoughts and goes no further than to accept his plans, he sees only through that man's eyes and is, so far, only an echo of another. God deals with men as responsible beings. He will work by His Spirit through the mind He has put in man, if man will only give Him a chance to work and will recognize His dealings. He designs that each shall use his mind and conscience for himself. He does not intend that one man shall become the shadow of another, uttering only another's sentiments. The source of wisdom. All should love their brethren and respect and esteem their leaders, but they should not make them their burden bearers. We are not to pour all our difficulties and perplexities into the minds of others, to wear them out. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. James 1, verse 5, 6. Jesus invites us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28-30. The foundation of Christianity is Christ our righteousness. Men are individually accountable to God, and each must act as God moves upon him, not as he is moved by the mind of another. For if this manner of labor is pursued, souls cannot be impressed and directed by the spirit of the great I Am. They will be kept under a restraint which allows no freedom of action or of choice. The work hindered. The Lord has shown me that men in responsible positions are standing directly in the way of His work, because they think the work must be done and the blessing must come in a certain way, and they will not recognize that which comes in any other way. My brethren, may the Lord place this matter before you as it is. God does not work as men plan or as they wish. He moves in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. Why reject the Lord's methods of working? Because they do not coincide with our ideas. God has His appointed channels of light, but these are not necessarily the minds of any particular set of men. When all shall take their appointed place in God's work, earnestly seeking wisdom and guidance from Him, then a great advance will have been made toward letting light shine upon the world. When men shall cease to place themselves in the way, God will work among us as never before. While extensive plans should be laid, great care must be taken that the work in each branch of the cause be harmoniously united with that in every other branch, thus making a perfect whole. But too often it has been the reverse of this, and as the result, the work has been defective. One man who has the oversight of a certain branch of the work magnified his responsibilities until, in his estimation, that one department is above every other. When this narrow view is taken, a strong influence is exerted to lead others to see the matter in the same light. This is human nature, but it is not the spirit of Christ. Just in proportion as this policy is followed, Christ is crowded out of the work, and self appears prominent. The true principles. The principles that should actuate us as workers in God's cause are laid down by the Apostle Paul. He says, "We are laborers together with God." 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." Colossians 3, verse 23. And Peter exhorts the believers, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 4, verse 10, 11. When these principles control our hearts, we shall realize that the work is God's, not ours, that He has the same care for every part of the great whole. When Christ and His glory are made first, and love of self is swallowed up in love for souls for whom Christ died, then no worker will be so entirely absorbed in one branch of the cause as to lose sight of the importance of every other. It is selfishness that leads persons to think that the particular part of the work in which they are engaged is the most important of all. An outworking of selfishness. It is selfishness also that prompts the feeling, on the part of workers, that their judgment must be most reliable and their methods of labor the best, or that it is their privilege in any way to bind the conscience of another. Such was the spirit of the Jewish leaders in Christ's day. In their self-exaltation, the priests and rabbis brought in such rigid rules and so many forms and ceremonies as to divert the minds of the people from God and leave Him no chance to work for them. Thus His mercy and love were lost sight of. My brethren, do not follow in the same path. Let the minds of the people be directed to God. Leave Him a chance to work for those who love Him. Do not impose upon the people rules and regulations, which, if followed, would leave them as destitute of the Spirit of God as were the hills of Gilboa of dew or rain. There is a deplorable lack of spirituality among our people. A great work must be done for them before they can become what Christ designed they should be, the light of the world. For years I have felt deep anguish of soul as the Lord has presented before me the want in our churches of Jesus and His love. There has been a spirit of self-sufficiency and a disposition to strive for position and supremacy. I have seen that self-glorification was becoming common among Seventh-day Adventists, and that unless the pride of man should be abased and Christ exalted, we should, as a people, be in no better condition to receive Christ at His second coming than were the Jewish people to receive Him at His first advent. We may have light from heaven. We are taught in God's Word that this is the time, above all others, when we may look for light from heaven. It is now that we are to expect a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. We should watch for the movings of God's providence, as the army of Israel watched for the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, the appointed signal that heaven would work for them. 2 Samuel 5, verse 24. God cannot glorify His name through His people while they are leaning upon man and making flesh their arm. Their present state of weakness will continue until Christ alone shall be exalted, until, with John the Baptist, they shall say from a humble and reverent heart, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John 3, verse 30. Words have been given me to speak to the people of God. Lift Him up, the man of Calvary. Let humanity stand back, that all may behold Him in whom their hopes of eternal life are centered. Says the prophet Isaiah, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Isaiah 9, verse 6. Let the church and the world look upon their Redeemer. Let every voice proclaim with John, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1, verse 29. It is to the thirsty soul that the fountain of living waters is opened. God declares, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground." Isaiah 44, verse 3. The souls that are earnestly seeking for light, and that accept with gladness every ray of divine illumination from His holy word, to such alone light will be given. It is through these souls that God will reveal that light and power which will lighten the whole earth with His glory.